Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, Text 33.
Nahi antaram bhagavati ha samasta kuksav.
Nahi antaram bhagavati ha samasta kuksav.
Atmanam. Atmana manani navuna basiva diraha. Pasyant.
Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Vaikuntha world, there is complete harmony between the residents and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as there is complete harmony within space between the big and the small skies. Why then is there a seed of fear in this field of harmony? These two persons are dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha, but where from can their disharmony come into existence? Purport. Just as there are different departments in each state in this material world, the civil department and the criminal department, so in God's creation, there are two departments of existence. As in the material world, we find that the criminal department is far, far smaller than the civil department. So this material world, which is considered the criminal department, is 1/4 of the entire creation of the Lord. Can you put this down a little bit? Is that okay? It's a bit too loud. Thank you. All living entities who are residents of the material universes are considered to be more or less criminals because they do not wish to abide by the order of the Lord, or they are against the harmonious activities of God's will. The principle of creation is that the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is by nature joyful, and he becomes many in order to enhance his transcendental joy. The living entities, like ourselves, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, are meant to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Thus, whenever there is a discrepancy in that harmony, immediately the living entity is trapped by maya or illusion. The external energy of the Lord is called the material world, and the kingdom of the internal energy of the Lord is called Vaikuntha, or the kingdom of God. In the Vaikuntha world, there is no disharmony between the Lord and the residents. Therefore, God's creation in the Vaikuntha world is perfect. There is no cause of fear. The entire kingdom of God is such a completely harmonious unit that there is no possibility of enmity. Everything there is absolute, just as there are many physiological constructions within the body, yet they work in one order for the satisfaction of the stomach. And just as in a machine, there are hundreds and thousands of parts, yet they run in harmony to fulfill the function of the machine. In the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord is perfect, and the inhabitants also perfectly engage in the service of the Lord. The Mayavadi philosophers, the impersonalists, interpret this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam to mean that the small sky and the big sky are one, but this idea cannot stand. The example of the big sky and the small skies is also applicable within a person's body. The big sky is the body itself, and the intestines and other parts of the body occupy the small sky. Each and every part of the body is individuality has individuality, even though occupying a small part of the total body. Similarly, the whole creation is the body of the Supreme Lord, and we created beings, or anything that is created, are but a small part of that body. The parts of the body are never equal to the whole. This is never possible. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the living entities who are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord are eternally parts and parcels. According to the Mayavadi philosophers, the living entity in illusion considers himself part and parcel, although he is actually one and the same as the Supreme Whole. This theory is not valid. The oneness of the whole and the part is in their quality. The qualitative oneness of the small and large portions of the sky does not imply that the small sky becomes the big sky. There is no cause for the politics of divide and rule in the Vaikuntha planets. There is no fear because of the united interests of the Lord and the residents. Maya means disharmony between the living entities and the Supreme Lord, and Vaikuntha means harmony between them. Actually, all living entities are provided for and maintained by the Lord because He is the supreme living entity. But foolish creatures, although actually under the control of the supreme living entity, defy His existence, and that state is called Maya. Sometimes they deny that there is such a being as God. They say everything is void, and sometimes they deny Him in a different way. There may be a God, but He has no form. Because these conceptions arise from the rebellious condition of the living entity. As long as this rebellious condition prevails, the material world will continue in disharmony. The harmony or disharmony is realized because of the law and order of a particular place. Religion is the law and order of the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we find that religion means devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, "Give up all other religious principles and simply become a soul surrendered unto me." This is religion. When one is fully conscious that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and supreme Lord, and one acts accordingly, that is real religion. Anything which goes against this principle is not religion. Krishna therefore says, just give up all other religious principles. In the spiritual, this religious principle of Krishna consciousness is maintained in harmony, and therefore the world is called Vaikuntha. If the same principles can be adopted here, wholly or partially, then it is also Vaikuntha. So it is with any society, such as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, putting faith in Krishna as the center, live in harmony according to the order and principles of Bhagavad Gita, then they are living in Vaikuntha, not in this material world. Om Gyanati Manandasya Gyananasya Lakya Chakshum Nitam Nyena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha. Vanchakapa Turubhishcha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavni Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just read the translation again. In the Vaikuntha world, there is complete harmony between the residents and the Supreme Person of Godhead, just as there is complete harmony within space between the big and the small skies. Why then is there a seed of fear in this field of harmony? These two persons are dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha, but where from can their disharmony come into existence? Hare Krishna. Big purport, but I'll try and break it down. Big blessings, senior devotees. Hey, all devotees. So, Prabhupada first points out, there's 4 points that I could see here. And, the difference between the spiritual world and the material world. Comparing it to the civil department and the criminal department. The harmony that takes place in the spiritual world, the Mayavadi misconception of such a verse, thinking that the living entity is the same as the Supreme Lord. What is real harmony, following the orders of Krishna? So maybe one or two will be there, if we have enough time. So Prabhupada describes this He says that the material world is like the criminal department, the prison. So the material world is 1/4 of the creation of the whole cosmic manifestation. So 3/4 is the spiritual world, 1/4 is the material world, where the conditioned living entities is, or the criminals are living. So someone may ask, why make the material world? So Prabhupada gives the example, when someone builds a city, they build a prison also. Because they don't want criminals, but they know there will be criminals. So this material world is created by Krishna for two reasons. To fulfill the foolish desire of the living entity to try and enjoy separately from Krishna. To try and be Krishna. To try and be the center of everything. So that's one. And the second is to reform the living entity. So he realized what foolish thing he's done and comes back to the spiritual world. That's why he makes the material world. And you can see that's how the jail is supposed to work. Not so they stay in there forever. So they can realize what they've done and they suffer punishment and then they come to their senses and be a good citizen again of the state. So what does it mean to be a free citizen or a law-abiding person for this cosmic manifestation? So it says here that the living entities, like ourselves, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, are meant to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Thus, whenever there is a discrepancy in that harmony, immediately the living entity is entrapped by maya or illusion. So that is the need, the emotional need, the essence of the living entity, Sanatana Dharma. So Sanatana Dharma, Dharma may be interpreted as a religion in English. But Srila Prabhupada, in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, states that Dharma means the essence of something. So the essence of water is that it's wet. The essence of sugar is that it's sweet. The essence of chili, it's pungent. So the essence of the soul, who we are, is to serve. So one may claim, well, I don't want to serve anyone. All living entities are serving. Even if you're the president of the United States, he tries to get the votes of the citizens saying that I'll give you so much service. You know, I'll build this road for you, we'll have nice education. You know, he's offering service, even though he's in charge of that particular country. Within a family, maybe the father's in charge. No, he's serving the wife, the kids. The kids serve the parents. The mother serves the kids, like that. And even if someone says, no, I don't serve anyone. I don't, like, if say if you work, you know, you serve your boss. But say you don't work, you live on the street, you fend for yourself. I don't serve nobody. You know? I just live. But still, when you get hungry, you have to serve your stomach, to serve your belly. So everyone is serving. So the perfection of such service to satisfy the heart is to engage that service essence in the service of the Supreme Soul. But why? Let's bring it back to basics again. So it first starts off with understanding who we are as a spirit soul. Not this material body. This material body is made of blood, flesh and bone, and urine and pus and stool. But the soul is a pure consciousness. Consciousness doesn't derive from combination of blood and bones and stool. No. Consciousness is in a different category in its own. Just like if you were to hit somebody, you know, they'll hit back. But if you hit something that's unconscious, like a table or something like that, it doesn't hit back I hope it doesn't hit back. Because there's no consciousness there. The soul's not there. The difference between a living body and a dead body. You go to someone's funeral, maybe your father's funeral, their father's funeral, and the whole family's crying there, no, no, why did you go? Why did you leave us? You know? But you could just say, well, what are you talking about? Your father's just here. Everything about him, you're playing with him, you're talking with him. He's still here. What's your problem? You know? They go, no, no, he's gone, he's gone. What's gone? The soul is gone. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the embodied soul continually passes from childhood to youth to old age, and similarly at death, the soul leaves to get another body. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So how to become sober? That means we're intoxicated, if we think we're the body. So where's the intoxication come from? Intoxicating on sense gratification, trying to feed the senses of this body. The conditioned soul thinks, I am this material body. I and mine. So the I, he thinks, I am this material body. Mine, he thinks everything is mine. Everything is for my enjoyment. Anything that's got to do with matter, that's for my enjoyment. So that's the state of the conditioned living entity. But one who's liberated, one who's sober, understands that, no, aham brahmasmi. I am spirit soul. And that spirit soul is, he understands, I'm a spirit soul, eternal servant of the supreme soul, Krishna. And everything belongs to Krishna. Bhaktam yagyatapasam savaloka maheshwaram suridam savabhutanam gantamam shanti richati. One who is in full consciousness of Krishna, knowing him as the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the best friend of all living entities, he attains peace from the suffering of the material world. So when he understands that, everything belongs to him. He understands mamam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That Krishna says that all living entities are actually part and parcel of me. The soul is not like this matter. Matter is temporary. The soul is eternal, carries on forever, doesn't die. Matter is also full of ignorance. It doesn't have any consciousness. That's a manifestation of ignorance. Like in the spiritual world, things are conscious. The ground is conscious. The trees are fully conscious. Satchitananda, blissful as well. But this body, you know, it's just, you feel like sleeping all the time, pretty much. You just want to shut off from what's real in life. And the soul is also ananda, full of happiness, full of enjoyment. But this material world, this material body is full of pain and miseries and suffering. So much pain comes to this body, especially as you age more and more. No, even from the beginning, when the baby is born, it comes out crying. I never heard of a baby coming out of the womb and is laughing and giggling. No, it doesn't happen. You know, it's all slimy and stuff. Oh, beautiful baby. And and even as a baby grows, so many times it's always in pain and suffering because it cannot communicate anything. Prabhupada gives the example that like a baby may be on its back and an insect is biting and starts crying. It's like, oh, this insect is biting me, but cannot communicate anything to its mother. The mother comes, oh, my baby's crying, let me give it some milk. You know? But no, it's the insect biting. So if this material world is completely full of misery. Threefold. Ariyatmika, Aribhautika, Aridevika. misery is caused by the mind and the body. I think it's maybe the second or the highest growing suffering or disease is mental illness. Mental illness. And not just for those who are older and grown up or going through a busy schedule, even for kids. Apparently the highest buyer or the highest selling medication for mental illness is for children, like Retin and stuff like that. So yeah, for all ages, it's the mental suffering is there. We have suffering caused by other living entities. Suffering caused by other living entities can be in the form of snakes or insects or animals. Can be, but especially in the forms of people. We hang out, you know, even amongst our own friends, you know, we feel annoyed. Why is this person doing this? It's there in the material world. And misery caused by the demigods or like natural, like tsunamis or earthquakes or Melbourne weather. I've been away for 3 years and I'm part of this world traveling to the Sankirtan party. So we follow the summer. So it's always good weather wherever we go. But then, yeah, come to Melbourne, doesn't matter what season it is, it's terrible, you know, it's like up and down. I couldn't believe it. I forgot how bad it was. You know, there's that saying, it's like, if you don't like the weather, just wait 10 minutes. So yeah, full of miseries. And even if you were to get pleasure in this material world, or so-called pleasure, it's described as the gap between two sufferings. That's the happiness in the material world. Just like when the mafia, they get some guy, they want to get some information out of him, or they want something from him. And they get his head, they dunk it into some water, and he's drowning, like this. And they lift his head up. Are you happy? He takes one big breath. Yes! Back down again. So that's what happens to us in the material world. When we act in a disharmonious way, in trying to, due to identification with the material body, and trying to satisfy the senses of this body, that's what implicates us in maya, in illusion, in complete suffering. This Krishna says himself, he made this material world as temporary and full of suffering. He's giving you full evidence in the Bhagavad Gita. So the spiritual world or spiritual existence completely opposite. Those who know about the spirit soul and the activities of the spirit soul, they understand that the material world is full of suffering. Yehi samsparsha cha bhogya. To try and satisfy the material senses is dukkhya yonya evate. The sources of misery, dukkhya. This is sources. Yonya means the sources. Dukkhya means misery. Evate, it's like certainly, indeed. It's like to tell you for sure that to try and satisfy material senses. Three times in one line that's suffering. Krishna's trying to tell you. And if you still don't get it, then he says, Arianta Vanta Kunteya. That, why is it suffering? Because they have Ari, they have a beginning, Anta, they have an end. That's why it's suffering. Anything, any pleasure, any happiness you hold onto this world, it could be in the form of even family. People say, like, you know, this. You may have the best family situation, best house, best job, best kids. They get the best education. You know, everything's sorted out. But what happens? You have to die. You have to lose it. You have best wealth. You may have millions of dollars in the bank. But then, you know, you die. You go into your next life. You may remember your past life. You had a bank account, and then you go to the Commonwealth Bank. Yeah, can I get something from my account? No, it's not going to work like that. It's gone. You lost it. Right? And that is the main misery of the hardest, the fearful situation of this material world, that of death. The pain is there. It's described to be like 10,000 scorpions stinging you. That's there. But more painful is that our greatest happiness comes from relationships. That's why, you know, in the introduction of Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada describes that everyone runs on rasa, or mellow. And we get this mellow from relationships. So we have so many relationships with so many people for a short amount of time. And then when a loved one dies or passes away, then you feel so much pain. You've seen it in the funeral, even with our own selves, maybe a mother or father's passed away. You feel so much pain. But when you die, it's like everyone dies. You cut all relationships that you had within that lifetime. But in the spiritual world, everything's eternal. Every relationship's eternal. No one dies in the spiritual world. Krishna doesn't die. If you have a relationship with Krishna, it's on the eternal platform. When Krishna's in the center of your relationship, it's eternal. We sing every morning, Chakudana Dile, Jama Jama Prabhupada, that you're my Lord birth after birth. I remember Kadamba Kamaraj describing this, saying that, what does that mean to be your spiritual master birth after birth? Does it mean like the next lifetime? He's there again. Maybe not. You may get another spiritual master, but that's also an eternal relationship. And say you've had several largest times. So when you go back to the spiritual world, then all your spiritual masters are there to greet you and engage you in their service. I thought that was pretty cool. So that's where we have to go, at a place where we're not bounded by time. We're not limited by this material body that gives so much pain and suffering. So how to get in this consciousness? How to be situated in that consciousness? Is it a Bhagavad Gita? It's in the purport to the 272, if you can just go. Yeah, Bhagavad Gita. Let's go. Okay, so. I can't paraphrase it exactly, so get it. But I remember a class here, Dhrimarita Maharaj gave a statement. Devotional service is back to Godhead. So I was thinking, what, did he just get that from realization? Or did he get it from some commentaries or acharyas? Or... The thing I love about Dhrimarita Maharaj is that whatever he says, he only says what Prabhupada says. It's really cool. Okay, so this is in the purport there. Okay. Right. There is... Okay. Right. There is no difference between the kingdom of God and the devotional service of the Lord. Since both of them are on the absolute plane, to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord is to obtain the spiritual kingdom. In the material world, there are activities of sense gratification, whereas in the spiritual world, there are activities of Krishna consciousness. Attainment of Krishna consciousness, even during this life, is immediate attainment of Brahman. And one who is situated in Krishna consciousness has certainly already entered the kingdom of God. So that's how it's done. Mamcha yo biyaprichena bhakti yogena servate. Samguna samatiyata brahma bhuyaya kapate. One is unflinching in devotional service. At once transcends the three modes of material nature and attains Brahman, or the spiritual platform. He's situated on this, the platform of the spiritual world. So this is how we get to that state, by engaging our senses in the service to the master of the senses. Bhakti Yoga. In relation to the Mayavadis interpretation, they think that the spirit soul merges harmoniously, like homogeneously, with the supreme soul into Brahman, and we just become Brahman and it's all one. They give the example of the big sky, the small sky merging into the big sky, and then it becomes one. They use like a pot, so they describe as the living in, as the body like a pot, and we're inside, the sky inside the pot, and the sky outside. So by breaking the pot, then the small sky automatically becomes the big sky. Or Prabhupada refutes it by saying, "Well, we're not pots or something like that, right?" It's a foolish analogy. It's not complete. So Prabhupada brings up the common and very good analogy of the body. There's so many different parts of the body, and you know, you've got hands and legs and arms, and they all have their individual function. But the purpose is to feed the stomach, to put food in the stomach. And then the stomach gives energy to the rest of the body, and they all get full nourishment and activity, and they're alive. Or just like a tree, the way to do it is to water the root. You don't water each leaf, branch, or twig. They won't get full nourishment. You water the root, then each aspect of the tree gets full nourishment beyond their own capacity. So when we give our love, our deeds, our thoughts, our service to Krishna, then we get full satisfaction beyond our own capacities that we could ever try to get satisfaction from. And that satisfaction is eternal and ever-increasing. Anandam Bhurivadana. And that's what Lord Chaitanya introduced in the Sankirtan movement, this Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. That the living entity is one in quality, but different in quantity. In the issue of Upanishad, I remember Jainitai, who gave a class at a home program, and I always remember it. There was a term in one verse called Eka Twam. Twam means thus, Eka means one, thus one. So one, especially the impersonalists, may interpret that as, okay, the living entity is equal in all respects to the Supreme Soul. But no, that's not true. It's three aspects. First one is that it's one in quality. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraha. Krishna, the Supreme Controller, has a body that's eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Us being parts and parcels, also eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Get a drop of from the ocean, the drop is salty, you know the ocean is salty. Same in quality. But the drop is completely different to the quantity of the ocean. The next one is in desire. So the number one desire of Krishna is to... to bring all the conditioned living entities in the material world back to the spiritual world. That's his number one desire. So the living entity who also shares that desire of also helping Krishna in such a service. Paritrata sadhanam vinashyata dushkritam dhamma samstapanataya swamabhami yuga yuga. Millennium after millennium, Krishna descends to deliver his devotees from separation from him, but also destroy the demons, but establish dharma because we're forgotten. And he established again, millennium after millennium, the amount of incarnations is just like the waves running into the ocean. Unlimited incarnation. You cannot count the waves of the ocean. You know, he's so compassionate to go so much out of his way to come and save us. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the best friend. Even when we come in the body of a hog or a womb and stool, he's there sitting in the heart, living entity. It's described just like two birds in a tree. The living entity, foolish, is suffering and enjoying the fruits of the tree of the material body. And the other bird, the super soul, is just watching. It's kind of like if you're going to sentence to jail, you're in a court, you're sentenced to jail, life in jail. And then your friend goes, "I'll come with you. I'll come with you." He didn't do anything, but he'll come with you. Krishna cares so much about us. So when we share that, then we become very dear to Krishna. And the third one is enjoyment. Our enjoyment comes from when Krishna enjoys. When Krishna enjoys the bhoga offered to him, then he's so kind to us, he leaves us a remnant. And we take the remnants in the form of halva and pakoras and burfis and sandesh and rasmalai and many, rasgullas, gulab jamun. Yeah, they're the four main foodstuffs, right? Before you... In Durban Temple, they do this weird thing. So you do the morning program. It's like Tulsi Adi's done. And after everyone bows down, it's like Vrindai Tulsi Devi, I pray against Rashida. As you start coming up from... Like behind the altar, the person walks across the temple room with a tray full milk sweets, full, like, you know, and like you want to get into chatting, you know. This guy walks past, puts it out the front of the temple. You see all the birds just disappear, run there, you know. They run there, and before they chant, their eyes have a cup of like sweet rice or something. You know? Yeah, I was like amazed by it. I couldn't believe it. Cause like I didn't know about that. And I was chanting, I go, where is everyone? Why did they disappear all of a sudden, you know? Maybe they're not serious enough. So yeah, we enjoy when Krishna enjoys. This is like, this is the spiritual world. When we say Krishna enjoy to the greatest satisfaction. And they just had their 30th anniversary of this installation of Shishi Radha Radhanath there. They had a Pushpa Abhishek. They had 1.5 tons of flower petals for the Abhishek. Patasati Maharaj there, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was there. And yeah, just showering Krishna with this. Agnidev was leading the kirtan with the Krishna kirtan, Prabhu and his 12 other entourage from Bangladesh, leading the kirtan. And then you see Shishirada Radhanath and Guruaj and Shigur Hari, they're all getting showered with flowers. And you could say, yes, Krishna is enjoying. And you love it. You know, it's like, yeah, Krishna's enjoying. It's so nice. You know, you feel so happy. And then, it's the same like in Chalpati. So, Patasati Maharaj and Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, they just start throwing all the petals out into the temple room, you know. And then everyone's just throwing flowers at each other, these petals. And this kirtan just got more wild. The flower petals flying everywhere. Completely all over the place. And they hurt sometimes. I don't know why. It's like, it's, you know, you get flower, you're like this. You think it's flower petals, you know, but gets stuck in your eye and your mouth. And you're like, yeah, whatever, let's go for it. You know? Oh, such an amazing experience. And that kirtan, you know. And it's all for Krishna. You know, Janmashtami comes. You fast, you know, come to my birthday, you're going to fast and you're going to do everything for me. It doesn't make sense, right, in the material world. But for Krishna and Janmashtami, it's like everyone's fired up. Everyone's fired. Can I do some service, like, you know, for 10 minutes or something, you know? Is there some service I can do for Janmashtami? You know, it turns into the spiritual. That is the spiritual. Everyone's anxious to somehow please Krishna. Somehow, let's do something for Krishna. Let's think about Krishna. Let's talk about Krishna. Let's, everything for Krishna, Krishna in the center. That is the spiritual. And Srila Prabhupada, while he was in Melbourne, gave a class here in Melbourne. I don't know if you still have the quote on the notice board anymore or not. But he said, like, as long as you engage in the service here in the temple, this is not Melbourne. This is Vaikuntha. No, this is Vrindavan. You know, like, this is where it's at. When you come to the temple, Krishna's in the center. You're entering the spiritual world. And you can make your home the spiritual when Krishna's in the center. When we do that, then you can reach the perfection of life. The perfection of life is to satisfy the heart's desires by fulfilling that Sanatana Dharma, the essence of the soul, by engaging in service to the Supreme Soul. That is real harmony. And that's what Krishna wants. Sarva Dharma Pranita Jamamikam Saranam Brahma. Give up all other religious principles. In the Bhagavad Gita, he gave Karma Yoga, he gave Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga.
Forget that. Just do bhakti yoga. Engage in your senses, in the service of the master senses. Try and please Krishna senses. This is real love. The soul, the emotional need of the soul, what everyone needs, where everyone gets the greatest happiness is from loving relationships. And how do you show that up? Through service. You got to do something. You can't just have lip service where you just say, I love you. What have you done to show your love? And being conditioned in this material world for so long, we're habituated to be inimical towards Krishna. So one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who knows how to love Krishna. Tak vidi panipatena, panipasena sevya, upadekshanti te gyanam, gyanastap padashana. Just try to approach a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. They've seen Krishna. They've seen devotional service. They are not in Maya. They can engage you in that absolute truth of the spiritual world. Exactly how you, as a part and parcel, just like the example here, the parts of the machine are supposed to fulfill the whole purpose of that machine. The parts and parcels, we all have a unique relationship with Krishna. So the spiritual master, the manifestation of the super soul outside the body, engages us in our exactly how we're supposed to love Krishna. And in the purport to that verse, that 434, that the secret of success is the satisfaction of spiritual master. That is the secret of success. When you make the instruction of the spiritual master your life and soul, whatever it takes, you're going to fulfill that instruction. The greatest example is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada got the instruction when he first met his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. Just from the first meeting, he was in his 20s, upon rising from paying obeisance to the sannyasi. You look like a young, intelligent man. You should preach in the Western countries. Preach in English in the Western countries. This Krishna consciousness. From that meeting, he accepted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as his spiritual master in his heart. Later, 11 years later, took initiation. But he never forgot that throughout his life, that instruction. Before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left, there was a meeting with Al Srila Prabhupada at Radhakund. There's a fire in the mat. If you ever get money, print books. We will just smash this marble and sell it. We'll print books. The Brihamadanga. So with the marathon coming up, it was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. He got great satisfaction from the distribution of these books. And these books are so powerful. Prabhupada was fully empowered to change people's lives from reading his books, from just touching his books, so even just getting darshan of his books. And that was the focus of all his activities in the years of spreading ISKCON, or establishing ISKCON around the world. He always was translating Srimad Bhagavatam and writing so many books and Bhagavad Gita. And you can see that all of us, to actually become a solid devotee or to become committed to Krishna consciousness, it was the books. And to step it up, to stay in Krishna consciousness, is the books. So we should give this opportunity to all the criminal-like living entities out there, an opportunity to engage in the spiritual once more again, to come back again. And these books just do that. They turn their lives completely. They may not take the book right away. That's okay, because we all sometimes get scared of rejection. No problem. But if we leave a good impression, they'll definitely take one the next time. They meet a book distributor. The next time they'll definitely take. So we should just think we're just giving them an opportunity. They're not rejecting us. You know, their desires are different, and Krishna can't force anyone to love him. It's not possible. And it's artificial if you were to do it. So that's how powerful these books are. And even if they don't take a book, they got so much purification on that spot because those books can just turn their lives a complete 180. So when they get in touch, they touch a book, interact with a book distributor, even they see a book distributor, they get purified. I remember when I was in university, I was going to RMIT, so you come out of Melbourne Central and then you run through, you just run through the, you know, you're in the rat race, yeah, run through like this. And I remember seeing a book distributor, he wasn't in Dhoti and Kurta, he was in plain clothes, you know, holding these big books out. And like, I saw it, and then it happens sometimes where someone just takes a book and just keeps walking. A big book, Bhagavad Gita, hardbound. And then when I saw that, then I was thinking, how could you think that big book was free? You know, happy. And like, because I saw the devotee run after the person afterwards. And I felt sympathy for that person. So even that, that small appreciation, that's like a seed that plants and into the consciousness of the living entity. We don't know how powerful this book distribution is. No idea. We don't know how powerful the Harinam Sankirtan is when it's out on the street. We don't know how powerful the Prasadam distribution is when someone takes halva. Prabhupada was saying yesterday, you know, someone had halva 20 years ago. Do you still have it? You know, he's been going 20 years, he's been searching for that taste again of devotional service. Param Diswa Nivatate, you know, he's like, I'm not going to eat anything else. You know, I just want halva the last 20 years of his life. Yesterday was like so much fun. Prabhupada came. We, with Devanath Peru, he organized, it was like traveling to Sankirtan, but we just did inner city suburbs. So we first hit St. Kilda. We got there about like 11:15. And, yeah, we went down the Esplanade, and there was all these stalls there. Many people, and we had like three or four book distributors with us. And we're all having a good time, you know, just singing, dancing, it's a good time, you know, everyone can see it. And so many people, I think there was comments, I haven't seen you for years, that usually comes up every time, I haven't seen you for years, where you been? They say like that. On the day before, we just did a random Harinam at Queen Victoria Market, and one guy says, like, he was just like, he was nearly about to cry, he had the biggest smile, he's like, so nice to see you again, so nice to see you again. We haven't seen you for so long. Where have you been? Like this, like again, you know, Param Diswanivate. They got a taste of that Anandam Buddhi Vardana. Of that ever increasing ocean of bliss. And like usually like when you leave a good impression on your book distribution, in your preaching, in your interaction with anyone, you know, you could be working, you could be going to university, you could be doing anything in the normal world. But just from you being Krishna consciousness, you're automatically a different person. People can point you out from a long time away and they like being around you. And then they may know you're a Hare Krishna. And then what happens, because you're such a nice person, they may meet a book distributor in the street and they're like, oh yeah, I have a friend who's into this Krishna stuff. You know, and then, oh, I'll take one, you know. Or sometimes they had such a nice interaction, they didn't take a book that first time. And then every book distributor has an experience where someone just randomly comes up and goes, oh, you have those books? You selling those books there? And you're like, yeah. Okay, how much? Yeah, it's this donation. People give 10. All right, cool. Like that. It was just easy. You didn't do nothing. You know, it's like, oh, Krishna. No, it's because they got in touch with someone beforehand. So I guess that's the scary thing about book distribution, like that rejection and like, oh, they didn't take it because there's something wrong with me. And no, it's not because of that. It's their desires there. So we just try and fan any small spark to say we leave a good impression. And this month, I guess we step it up. We step it up this month of trying to, you know, bring more conditioned souls to the lotus feet of Krishna through the distribution of these books. We found that like if someone wants to have a discussion or a conversation, it just takes too long. You know, about the philosophy, it just takes too long and they forget most of the stuff, and when you speak to them, because they're so gunked up with sense gratification, they don't have the ability to hear transcendental subject matters. You know, they space out quite a bit. And even Prabhupada said in the letter, what will your 3 minutes lecture, or 30 minutes lecturing do? If they get one book, then he will benefit. This is preaching. Because Prabhupada lays it down systematically and just smashes, cuts through everything, you know, so nicely. He explains it to him so nicely. So that's what our job is. Like, we just place Prabhupada with them. And then Prabhupada just smashes their material to pieces. Yeah, so that's our job. So what can we do? How do we make it more easy? When I was traveling around the world with this Harinam party, we have Gaura Karuna, who's on the bicycle. So he follows the Harinam party on the bicycle and distributes book. He's the most laziest book distributor I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, really. Like, he will just, he's so, like, casual and lazy about, like, he always likes to get juice or some fruit in between the book distribution of the Harinam. You know? Like, if we don't see Gaura Karuna, it's like, he's getting juice or he's getting cheese. And we saw him in Germany, they have lots of cheese, and he likes cheese. So then, like, he's doing books. He's like, hi, this is for you. And he's munching on some cheese at the same time. Like that. Sometimes he gives the book, and he goes, this is about yoga meditation. We are monks. He gives some donation for preaching. And then suddenly he gets so into the cheese or the apple or something, you know. And he forgets that the person's like, oh, yeah. And they're just waiting for him to take the money. And he's like, oh, yeah, thank you. Nice to meet you. And then he has a vuvuzela. It's like a horn from this World Cup soccer. And then he goes on. So, and he's lazy. Like, you know, and like when you have book distribution in Harinam Sabha, it's so powerful. Because they see what the book is about. It's about dancing and chanting in the spiritual, like Krishna. And like they see it and they're like, so what is this? Wow. So Gaura, he's behind and he just sees, like he's just watching who's dancing, who's happy. And we do a lot of interactions too, you know. It's like, you know, how they get that? Woo! We dance around and stuff and then we leave them. And then Gaura comes, hi. Yeah, we are monks, you can give some donation. He doesn't explain any philosophy whatsoever. Because he told me, you don't need to. You know, they got experience what the book is about. They know who we are, you know. And they're happy to reciprocate with the experience that we gave them. And easy take. In Mexico, we were there for a month. We did about 6 to 8 hours of Harinam every day in Mexico City. And we did 15,000 books. Mexico City is a bit different. They're very pious Catholic tradition. So we go down one main street, and then we stop, and there's two disciples of Indrajura Maharaj there. So they know, like, two Matajis, they know, like, the moves for the Polish tour. They taught everyone. So they do that there. So very attractive. And, you know, 100 people just stop there. Gaura comes along, everyone takes a book, everyone gives them, you know. He knows every language to do a book. He goes, hola, amiga. Libros para ti, para todos. And then yoga, meditation, philosophy de India. poquito donation, 20 pesos. And they give. And then, not on top of that, they also join in the dancing. They can pick up all the kirtan dance moves, and they pick up the singing, the mantra. And sometimes, nearly every second day, two or three people will follow us all the way back to the town and start practicing Krishna consciousness. They'll follow us all the way back. And it's a long distance because we're in the city and the temple somewhere else, and we have to take the metro there. So they come in the metro with us. We do kirtan in the train station and in the train. And they have different railings on the trains. Like, they don't have, like, metal wheels. They have, like, you know, tires. So when you jump in the carriage, it's bouncing, you know. And everyone's like, oh. It's rocking, you know. And you come back, you're like, you know, you're in pure ecstasy. And that's what happened yesterday. I don't know how many books we did. I think we did a good number of books, maybe over 50 or 100 or something. And we did St. Kilda. We did we stopped in front of Luna Park, Prabhu gave a talk to invite everyone to the Sunday feast. What a better way for Sunday, to celebrate Sunday, you know? Come with an empty stomach and you'll smile. And you know, we got great philosophy. And we went down Ackland Street. So much fun. People were dancing, taking books at the same time. Chapel Street was a different thing. We went into every shop, you know, Kukai, Diesel. We went to every single shop and did kirtan in there, come out, you know. Went into cafes, and the cafe staff were dancing, they buying books. Yeah, all right, you know. And then Ninad, he's an amazing cook. So we got to get nourished by prasadam, having a picnic by the river. It was really nice. And then charged up again, we hit Fitzroy. Brunswick Street was a bit quiet, but we never got such a reaction. It was so much fun going down the street, and they have that restaurant, Rade, Giridhari Priya's restaurant. And then we just went past it, all of a sudden Giridhari just rocks up out of nowhere with his mridanga. You know, so Krishna just sends devotees to help you with the Sankirtan movement going through. And then apparently there was some street party off Brunswick Street. We went over there. They were just drinking and listening to, like, you know, some music or something like that. And they were just standing there. That was like their party. Yeah, just standing there drinking. I was like, no, really. Like, you know, we're all colorful, you know, saris, dhotis, and, you know, hands in the air swaying and singing with their hearts and, you know, nice bells and cymbals and drums. These guys, you know, there's some guy going like this. You know, and then everyone's just got a beer in hand, just saying. And like they're fully in tamagun, you know, and you can see it. And like we just, it was like a graveyard, you know. And we just went over there and we just see if anyone was still alive, you know. And there was a few people. There was like two or three. Someone had their kid there. The child was fully into it. She came running to join the devotees. Then the mom grabs her. No. Right? Then she stuck around. She tried to run another direction. Then the dad grabbed her, you know. And she tried another time. And she just watched and she was singing and dancing with us. And yeah, we go, is there anyone out there? can you help us? Okay, repeat after me. Hare Krishna. So whoever chanted, we give them a book. And they take. And then we went into Radhe, because Giridhari wanted us to bless his kitchen. So we went into the kitchen. There was like 20 of us. And this kitchen is probably, you know, 1/5 the size of this temple room. So really small. And just ripped that kirtan in there, banging pots and stuff. And then we come outside onto the street again. And we ran into another devotee who's like not practicing so much. She used to practice so, a lot. And not so much, but she's still around. We go, okay, you lead now. So she led the kirtan, you know. We're going down the street. We went in front of another bar. And then Bharadatti Mataji, she was leading. She goes, okay, repeat after. We gave everyone mantra cards so they could sing along. Okay, everyone repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Okay, now we're going to step it up. One of you is going to lead the kirtan. So he gave it to one of these people who were drinking and drunk, you know. Okay, and he got the mantra. And he led the kirtan. You know, he led the kirtan, you know. And then, you know, someone just like out of their heart, you can feel it. They go, thank you so much for a great day. You made our day. You guys are so lovely. And then in between book distributors, any onlookers, you know, bang, 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 you know. Didn't have to explain a thing. And then we were just in total bliss at the end of that. I wanted to do one more Harinam, but everyone's bodies were finished. It was about 5 to 6 hours of Harinam. Yeah, so much fun. So this is our Krishna consciousness movement. If the members of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, putting faith in Krishna as the center, put the holy name in the center of our lives, live in harmony according to the order and principles of Bhagavad Gita. Read Bhagavad Gita, live Bhagavad Gita, give Bhagavad Gita. Then they are living in Vaikuntha, not in this material world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any comments or questions? Prabhuji, would you like to add something? Maybe you have some experience? Then we can take them.
There was also that street march.
No, because we'll just like Brunswick Street took a lot of time. Yeah, it's the nature of Harinam. You sort of want to be in places, but because there's too much ecstasy, you forget time. I think it happened to Lord Nityananda, right? He had a Harinam party, and they were trying to get to Navadvip, or they were trying to get somewhere, right? And he had his party. It was a Harinam went for 1 month. It didn't stop. And then Mridanga players, and like, they didn't get tired, they got more energy. And they will go one direction. And whoever got touched by it, they just joined in, you know? And like, people forgot their bodies, old people were dancing on the edge of the branches. The young guys are ripping trees out of the ground, you know? And like, they're trying to get somewhere, and like, you know, and they think, wait a minute, I think we missed the turn. And they'll ask something, is this the way, where were they going to? They're going to Jagannath Puri. Is this the way? They go, no, it's back there, turn. Okay, turn back everywhere. They're going, and then they got in ecstasy again, and they missed the turn, and they're like, wait a minute. They all said, no, don't go back. So it went on for like a month or something like that. So, yeah, Lord Nityananda's Prem Sankirtan. This is where our home is. This is what Lord Chaitanya gave to us. They were happy, huh? Yeah, how was the interaction with different people? Was it when?
There were a lot of people from out of town.
Okay.
So it was fresh.
Yeah, nice. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Yeah, everyone's invited to come. I think, they do Harinam twice a week, so you can join in, just dance and chant. they meet at the front of Crossways. So yeah, it's kirtan to the next level. Like you have kirtan inside, and it is nice, you know, you get absorbed and stuff. But when you're giving it out, you have no idea how you feel. Yeah, you get addicted. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam is amazing. You gotta get this book.
Yeah, I've got the book.
You got Bhagavatam? Yeah, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, when you get this Bhagavatam, it's like putting rocket boosters in your spiritual life. It's not like a book you academically read, it's like an experience. So yeah, get into the show. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Transcendental Book Distribution, Ki Jai.